All right, let's get into this case. State v. Wilson. This one really kind of threw a wrench into the whole concept of the insanity defense. This Connecticut case had everybody talking, and we're going to try to unpack why.
Well, yeah, I think what makes State v. Wilson so interesting is this question of wrongfulness and how it's applied to people with mental illness. It's really more complicated than it sounds on the surface.
Yeah, definitely. And we've got a lot of stuff to go through, court opinions, legal analysis, even a standard case brief.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, our goal is to kind of help you understand not just what happened, but the lasting implications.
Exactly. And, you know, it's a story about this guy, Andrew Wilson, who really, truly believed that he was in danger. It's really compelling.
So set the theme for us. What led to this legal battle in the first place?
So Andrew Wilson was totally convinced these two guys, Jack and Dirk Peters, were after him. Like, they were trying to poison him, hypnotize him, just completely ruin his life.
Wow.
And Wilson was so convinced that he went to the police multiple times.
And the police couldn't do anything with what they saw as unsubstantiated claims. And tragically, that led Wilson to kind of take the law into his own hands.
Right. It culminated in him shooting and killing Jack Peters.
Oh, wow.
And Wilson's defense. He genuinely believed that by killing Peters, he was protecting himself and, you know, maybe even saving others from this perceived threat.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the insanity defense comes into play. And this is where I think it gets really interesting.
Yeah, because, you know, at first glance, you think, okay, if he was that delusional, it should be open and shut.
Yeah, you would think. But it's not that simple. In Connecticut, for the insanity defense, you have to prove that because of your mental state, you either didn't understand that what you were doing was illegal or that it was wrong.
Okay, so that's where the ambiguity is, like mm-hmm. defining wrong.
Exactly. The courts have been going back and forth for years trying to figure out, what does wrongfulness really mean? Does it just mean breaking the law? Or does it mean some deeper moral understanding of what society thinks is okay?
Mm-hmm.
And State v. Wilson really brought this whole debate to the forefront, and the Connecticut Supreme Court had to deal with it head on.
So how did they rule? Did they go with like a strictly legal definition, or did they go into the murkier waters of like societal morals?
They decided that wrongfulness includes both the legal and moral standards. So they said, for an insanity defense to work, the defendant needs to show that because of their mental state, they didn't understand they were breaking the law and that what they were doing was morally unacceptable to society.
Wow, that's a big distinction. It sounds like they were trying to like balance acknowledging the impact of mental illness with still holding people accountable?
Yeah, exactly. They even said, you know, imagine seeing the world through the defendant's eyes with all the delusions and everything. And if within that world they really truly believe that society would be okay with what they did, then the insanity defense could work.
That's a really powerful way to put it, trying to see it from both sides.
Yeah, but not all of the justices were on board with this whole expanded definition of wrongfulness.
Oh, so there was dissent. What were their concerns?
Some of them worried that this would just open the door to too much subjectivity and that it could undermine the entire idea of being accountable for your actions. You know, they argued that this way, anybody could say their own personal morals justified breaking the law.
It sounds like there's really no easy answer then when it comes to mental illness and like and criminal responsibility.
Yeah. And I think those concerns from the dissenting judges bring up a good point, though. You know, what are the implications of State v. Wilson?
Yeah. Okay. So how has this case been interpreted? Did it, like, make it easier or harder to use the insanity defense in Connecticut?
Well, it didn't really, like, fundamentally change the standard, but it definitely clarified it. When the court said that wrongfulness includes societal morals, they kind of raised the bar for defendants.
Okay. So now it's not enough for someone to say, well, I didn't think it was wrong. They'd have to show that their mental illness, like, kept them from even understanding how society views it.
Right. And that's where things get kind of complicated, especially when you have these people whose delusions are so strong that they really believe they're doing the right thing, you know, even when it goes against what everyone else thinks.
It's like a catch-22 almost, you know. If their delusions are so messed up that they think society's on their side,
yeah,
wouldn't that also make it hard for them to understand what society actually believes?
Yeah, that's exactly the tension at the heart of this whole thing. And that's why State v. Wilson has caused so much debate. Some legal experts think it's more fair now, you know, because it recognizes that people with severe mental illness might not see morality the same way we do.
It like levels the playing field then.
In a way, yeah. It tries to make sure they're not being judged by a standard they can't possibly meet. Like before State v. Wilson, someone like Andrew Wilson, who truly believed what he did was right, he could still be found guilty, even if his, you know, his brain was really messing with his judgment.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, and this kind of goes back to what those dissenting judges were saying, but couldn't this also make it easier for people to fake mental illness?
That's the other side of the argument, right? The critics say that now that it's about what the defendant understands about society's morals, it's way too subjective. It's harder to tell who's really sick and who's just trying to, you know, work the system.
So how do we figure that out? Mm-hmm. How do we make sure we protect the people who really need this defense, but not let it be abused?
It's a huge question, and it's one that legal scholars and lawyers are still trying to answer. There's no easy solution. You have to look at each case, the evidence, the expert testimony, all of it. You got to really consider the individual circumstances.
It's a tough one. Hmm. And Stacey Wilson really kind of opened up a whole can of worms, you know, more questions than answers. Makes you think, is there any way to really balance protecting people with mental illness with keeping everybody else safe?
Yeah, it's definitely a complex issue. And you know what really gets me about this case? It forces us to look at our own ideas about mental illness, you know, and how we decide who's responsible when a crime is committed. Are we really okay with saying that someone can do something terrible and get away with it just because their brain doesn't work the way ours do?
Yeah, and State v. Wilson, like, it really gets at that. Mm-hmm. It forces us to look beyond just the legal definitions, you know, black and white, and really think about the gray areas of mental illness.
It really shows the limitations of the legal system. You know, when you're talking about mental illness, the law is all about people making rational choices. But what happens when someone's reality is totally different?
Right, right. And that's what makes the insanity defense so hard. How can you say someone knew what they were doing was wrong if they see the world completely differently?
Exactly. And that's what makes this case, State v. Wilson, so important. It started a conversation that goes way beyond just this one case. It makes us think about how we, as a society, deal with mental illness in the justice system, you know?
Before we wrap up, what do you think State v. Wilson means for the future of the insanity defense?
Well, I think it's kind of a warning. It shows that we need to be way more nuanced in how we approach mental illness in the law. Maybe we need to move away from guilty or not guilty by reason of insanity, you know, and think about different models that take into account just how complex mental illness is and how it can affect what people do.
Yeah, but we need a whole new language for this, one that goes beyond these simple labels and really looks at the whole spectrum of human experience.
Exactly. And cases like this remind us that the law is always changing. And it's up to us to talk about these tough questions, you know, and challenge our assumptions and really try to build a system that's more just and compassionate.
Yeah, I agree with that. This has been such an interesting deep dive. Steve V. Wilson definitely makes you think about the insanity defense in a whole new way. It's not just a legal thing. It's a way to look at human behavior and mental illness and how we deal with justice when things aren't so clear cut. It's been a really great discussion, I think.
Absolutely. It shows that there's always more to learn and more to question when it comes to law and mental health.